this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in just a couple minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen anytime using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adele, Georgia. By the way, I listened to the station the other day, and all the advertisements didn't say Adele. They all said Adele. So apparently it's Adele, Georgia. WJNW, AM 1650, Herman, Tennessee. Talk Radio AM 1620 KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio AM 1680 KCTR, Terrell, Texas. Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia. Exactly, he's still in Florida again. Must be nice. Mr. Ken Brown.
It's not Ken, it's Ken.
Ken Brown. There you go.
Yeah, that's what we say in the South. It's got two syllables.
Yeah, like Adele and Adele and
Adele, Adele, yeah.
It's like a Lafayette, Georgia. Is if you live down here in the South, it's Lafayette, Georgia.
Yeah. It's, you know, when we went to college, and I went we was in Athens, Tennessee, and because I was from Atlanta, I'd always say Knoxville, Tennessee, Knoxville. And they go, no, it's Knoxville.
Knoxville, yeah.
Knoxville.
Yeah, it's funny how that stuff works.
Yeah. So I started saying Knoxville.
Well, I grew up in a little town called La Follette, Tennessee. L-A and then space, capital F-O-L-L-E-T-T-E. But a lot of people pronounce it La Follette. I mean, not La Follette. They pronounce it La Follette.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But nobody around there where I grew up can't pronounce it that way. That's where other people, when they saw it, that's the way they would pronounce it. Kind of like Lafayette and Lafayette, whatever. Anyway, let's get started. Before we get started, I want to just mention a couple things real quick. Red State Talk Radio's top five for May. I'm just going to mention a few shows that are really highly rated that you guys ought to check out. America Talks with David Zublik, I was ranked number one last month in May. Number two, the Scott Adams Show. And number three, Squashing Liberalism, which is actually a new show, but did really well in the rankings. This guy is a former Marine, Ken. And the first show I listened to him, he had a bit inside his show where they were waterboarding Hillary Clinton. It was hysterical.
Just the thought.
And the sound effects they use, and her gurgling the water. They had some female doing
the water.
Yeah. And there was some other guy that was dragging her in there, and she was struggling, you know, and stuff. And they had to put her down. And it was, I'm telling you, it was good. It was pretty good. moving on, a couple of new programs that we have on Red State Talk Radio. We got the Ron Edwards show, hosted by, of course, Ron Edwards. Jason Vealey show, which actually he was with Red State Talk Radio before, and he's returning, hosted by Jason Vealey, and Standing Ground, hosted by Jeremy Leahy. okay, that's enough of that kind of stuff, and we will get started here.
We're too Obamacare. First.
Well, I know. I'm sitting here trying to decide which is the best one. Let's go with Obamacare. We still do something on Obamacare just about every show, but let's go. This is a good one. All the major insurers are seeking increases, and they're double-digit increases in Obamacare premiums this next year. This is in a story on Politico. It's on redstatetalkradio.com. The story is located there.
That's not what we were promised, Primo.
I know. I don't know what happened to that $2,500 savings. I'm still looking for that. I don't know.
It's supposed to go down, not up.
Yeah, but the double-digit hikes are big. In some cases, 50%, 40%, that sort of thing. And I think it's I forget. It's been so long since I read this story. I'm pretty sure, Ken, it's like 49 out of 50 states or something. Or it's a lot of them. I don't know. I can't remember if it's 49. Do you remember when you read the article?
It was on Hannity. Hannity had the same thing. He actually went state by state.
Right.
He said the state and he said the percentage. And
if you want to read the article, everybody can read the article and look. But this was earlier in the week, and I've just forgotten half of what I read. So
well, he said Georgia was 20%. I said, oh, great, thanks.
I'm thinking Tennessee was like 41 or something like that, or whatever. So anyway, these insurers, basically what they're doing is complaining that the number of people, here's why they haven't had the increase, and we predicted this would happen, because most of these people are, A, going into Medicaid, right? And the amount of Medicaid funding they have is falling way short.
Got to pay for it.
And so it has to be paid for in theory somehow. So it has to come through the Obamacare system. And so you've got this on top of the Supreme Court decision on subsidies, which will come out this month. Supposedly, it should come out this month. This is June. This is when the first batch of Supreme Court decisions comes out, is in June. And we're already in June. So in the next 2-3 weeks, we're going to find out what the Supreme Court is going to decide on subsidies. And if the Supreme Court follows the daggum law and decides the case based on the law as the way it was written, Obamacare is screwed. And everybody who has Obamacare is screwed.
And, well, we're talking, you know, was that 11 million people, something like that?
I don't remember the number.
When you say Obamacare, like we all have, I think it's 10 to 15 million. I think 11 is that's what I've heard. So what's going to happen to those 11 million people?
In some cases, those were people who didn't have insurance anyway. So,
right.
Whatever, that's a problem, obviously. But here's the thing. It's like we've talked about. They got all these subsidy money, and they already found out that a lot of these people that they got too much money and they owe that money back to the IRS. We already know that. But what if we find out that every single dime that they got, not just some of it or part of it, or all of it. But every single dime they got was they should not have gotten. Then where are we? Where are they? You know? You talk about a bunch of people raising hell. You're going to have a lot of people who voted for Obama and who thought Obamacare was a good idea and maybe not being so freaking happy after the Supreme Court decision. But who knows what they'll do? The Supreme Court, you never know. So, anyway.
Somehow, some way, they're going to it'll come out in the press as a Republican. You know, that's the fault of the Republican Party.
Yeah, somehow, exactly. It'll be all Republicans' fault. Whatever happens, it'll be Republicans' fault. Yeah. But here's the way I would spin that if I were Republicans. I'd say, don't look at us. We didn't vote for this piece of crap. Every single vote for Obamacare that gave you Obamacare came from the Democratic Party. Talk to them.
Not one Republican voted for
it. Not one.
Yeah.
And I'd say, talk to them. And but you know what? Our politicians don't have that kind of guts. We need people like that to have those kind of guts. You know, if you're gonna serve the people, you need to stand up for the people and need to stand up for what's right, what's wrong. And unfortunately, we don't have too many people that do that anymore. Talking about government incompetence, here's another one. this story is on RedStateTalkRadio.com. The TSA had some undercover people testing the TSA's ability to protect us with the screenings they have at the airports. The TSA, they had a problem. They basically, 95% failure rate. Let's get that out right off the bat. 95% failure rate. These people had substances on them they shouldn't have had. They had pretend bombs taped to their, like duct taped to their back and stuff like that. And they were getting pat down and they didn't catch any of this stuff. They carried on guns. They carried on all kinds of stuff. I don't know this for a fact, but I wouldn't doubt that they tried to haul in a nuclear weapon as luggage, you know. And it probably had those big yellow signs, you know, radiation, you know, right on the outside of it. And nobody picked that up on it.
Volatile substance.
Biological. Just let your imagination run wild. These idiots couldn't find it, you know, if you stuck it right up underneath their nose. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I don't know the last time you've flown, but. I mean,
it's
been
a few years, yeah.
Yeah, I flew last summer. Of course, I didn't fly international, but it felt a lot international. But I think, you know, you go through those little screens now where you get those walk-in screens where you lift your hands up and you do the scan, the body scan, whatever it is, and I'm thinking, how do you miss anything with that? I don't know. Maybe the airport, Atlanta airport, is one of the few that has that. I don't know.
Well, I think the big problem there really is you've got government employees doing this. If you had a private firm doing this, seriously, if you had a private firm doing this and you knew your job was on the line, and if you screwed up, you would lose your job, you'd take your job more seriously. These people don't give a crap.
Are you saying, Primo, the government doesn't do as good a job as the private sector? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying, Ken.
But we keep throwing more and more money at the federal government to do these things for us.
Well, as we all know, that's the answer to every problem is just throw more money at the damn thing, and you know, it'll straighten everything out. It always does, right?
Yeah, like $500 million to Solyndra.
There we
go.
Let's do another one. Let's talk about another government agency that can't get their crap together. Social Security Administration. I don't know if you're aware of this, Ken, but Social Security, you know the disability part of Social Security where people who have disabilities are receiving money? They're going to run out of funds in 2016, just in time for the presidential elections.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And There's a report on Fox News today. I didn't download it. I saw it on my mobile phone. I was looking just a few minutes ago. And there's billions and billions and billions of dollars of waste where they either paid money to people who shouldn't have gotten anything at all. They paid too much money. The litany of stuff just goes on and on and on and on. And in the article, I read that, listen to this now, that in Social Security benefits, whatever, there's going to be this year will be just under $1 trillion paid out this year.
Golly.
$1 trillion a year.
Jeez.
Nearly a trillion. It's under a trillion, but it's approaching a trillion. So,
Big brother taking care of us.
Yeah, but back to the TSA thing. Now, here's my thing. If 95% of the time they can't even get their crap right in a test run, why are we putting up with this nonsense and having to fool with this stuff? Why don't we just get on the damn plane and forget about it?
Well, it's like anything else. We put up with it until something bad happens.
Yeah, and you know what? The entire time TSA's been active, and they were invented, and they thought of this thing. Do you know how many terrorists have been stopped by the TSA?
How many?
Make a guess. Come on, let's play guessy time. Guess.
Not many, I'll take it.
The grand total of terrorists caught by the TSA pre-screened before they board a flight is exactly zero.
Zero. Makes you feel safe, don't it?
Yeah, so they haven't caught one guy yet, and 95% of the time they fail. What's the point?
Yeah, really. Well, we can save the money and just take our own chances, right?
Yeah. I'll just issue everybody a Glock when they get board the plane and say, hey, if anything happens, take care of business.
There you go. I feel safe with that one anyway.
Yeah. I'd rather have 200 people on the flight knowing they're all armed than knowing that one guy got through and he's the only one armed. Right? <Yeah. laughs> You know, or give everybody box cutters or whatever. You know, whatever you want to do. Box cutters, Glocks. I'm okay.
I tell you, I'm a teacher and we have a sign out front that says, you know, no guns, no all this stuff. And I'm thinking it should be the exact opposite. We should have a sign saying our teachers are packing.
Yeah. Guess which
one? They're over risk. Yeah. And, you know, and they're well trained. I'll be the first one to do it. Give me a piece. I'll put it on me. I'll have one on me all the time. And I'll go through the training. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a sitting duck.
Yeah, if I were retired, which I'll never get to retire, but if I were retired, I would volunteer. I would just roam the halls hoping somebody did something stupid.
Please.
I guess that's the kind of guy you don't want there. Maybe he's a little too eager, maybe, but still. We got a few minutes left before we go to break. Let's talk about this one. Good article on the American Spectator. Again, it's on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Sirhan, the first lone wolf. And I never really thought about this, but this article makes a good point. You know, Sirhan, of course, is the guy who assassinated Bobby Kennedy in the 1968 presidential campaign. And I guess the article states the obvious. He was probably the first lone wolf terrorist in our history. But, you know, at that time, things just didn't gel. You know, you didn't realize what was going on. And, you know, and it wasn't that many years later. Of course, we had in Iran, we had our embassy overtaken. That was in 1978 through 9, I guess. It was over 400-something days, whatever it was. This has been with us a long time, and you know what? This crap is going to be with us a lot longer. This is not going away, especially when you consider this. There's a Fox News poll that came out the last couple of days And the question was real simple. Does Obama have a strategy to defeat ISIS? And we talked about this for the show, so I'm not going to make you guess the number. But everybody listening to this, if you've not heard of the poll, what do you think the percentage was of people who said, yes, he has a strategy, and no, he has no strategy? Give you a couple seconds, mull it over, come up with a number, and here are the results. Does Obama have a strategy to defeat ISIS? Yes. Now, this is registered voters. This is not Democrat and Republican. Registered voters. That includes everybody. Yes, 19%. No, 71%. So even the dummies have figured this one out.
Pretty obvious.
Even the people who voted for this idiot and who will vote for the next idiot, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or who it's going to be, they even know that this guy has no clue.
And we got, it's like Krauthammer said, we got 17 more months of this.
Well, 17 more months. Krauthammer said, I don't remember the exact phrase, but basically 17 more months of just hoping nothing happens so he can get out of town and blame it on someone else. Well, it didn't happen on my watch, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Of course, ISIS happened on his watch.
Yeah. The JV team.
JV team. Yes.
Yeah, and he pulled the troops out of Iraq, and look what happened in Iraq. And no one, you know, the media didn't say stuff like that. They don't say, you know, he pulled them out, and this is what happened. Even when people said, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
George W. predicted it. He said, if we take our troops out before the time, it's going to be devastation.
Well, I mean, think about it. Why do you think we still have troops in Korea?
Yeah, it just makes sense, doesn't it? It just makes sense. But this man, this so-called leader of the free world, thinks he wants to be friends with everybody, and that I'm going to end wars, I'm going to take people out, and we're all going to sing Kumbaya.
Yeah. I have to correct you, Ken. He's not the leader of the free world. He's the leader of his own little world.
But he, you know, the narcissism of this guy knows no boundaries. He says he's the closest thing to a Jew. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was hysterical. I mean, just the fact that, I mean.
He's either lying and he thinks we're buying it, or he's that narcissistic. What do you think?
I think there's definitely both going on, because we know he's a liar. That's a given. So, but he's definitely a narcissist.
Is he lying on purpose and thinking that people are buying the lies? Or
is he totally delusional and really believes what he's saying?
Yeah, is he that stupid? Is he just that stupid, incompetent? I don't know. It really is laughable, the things he says.
Well, what was the statement he made just last week about that because of him, we're now more respected around the world and all this kind of stuff? I'm thinking, who the hell? What world are you living in? What planet, what world are you living on, man? We're the laughingstock of the modern age. Nobody takes us seriously anymore.
What is going to happen when he's out of office? Are the cameras going to follow him around and ask for his opinion on everything?
Oh, God, I hope not. I never want to see that guy again.
But he's not, you know, he's not in his 80s or anything. He's a relatively young man.
Oh, he's going to be around a long time, I assume.
Yes. So, I mean, what is he going to do? Is he going to be in the limelight when he's an ex-president?
Well, here's the thing. I can guarantee you this. He's not going to be like Jimmy Carter, start building homes for the poor.
No. No, I know that.
That is not going to happen.
No.
This guy does not have that kind of bone in his body. At least Jimmy Carter, a terrible president, but at least, and he, and this guy hates Jews too, by the way. Jimmy Carter is not real fond of the Jews either. But at least when it came to what he did after his presidency, he did do some good. I mean, he, you know, his Habitat for Humanity stuff, he's, you know, and I applaud him for that. That's wonderful that he did that.
I just hope we don't have another Clinton thing where at some point, you know, in a few years from now, we've got Michelle Obama being a senator and then she's going to run for president.
Oh, God.
Well, that, look at it.
That's a horrible thought. That's a horrible thought.
Look at the Democratic Party. You tell me who stands out in the Democratic Party.
Well, like we talked about.
Young folks in the Democratic Party are standouts. I can, you know, we can go through a long list of the Republican Party, but the Democratic Party, who do they have?
The bench is very thin.
Oh gosh, if there's a bench at all, and so I mean, who do you look to? You look to somebody who's already been in the limelight that people recognize that they can, you know, go to and say, "I'll vote for her."
Yeah,
I'll vote for him because I already like them.
Yeah. Well, I don't think as many people like Obama and by that token, perhaps Michelle than what was done before. But
think about it. Think about the women that vote, women, black women, that just want to vote for her because she's a woman.
No, oh, I know. And
then she's black, period.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're running real late. Let's go ahead and go to break, and we come back. We got plenty more to talk about. We got a lot of stuff about presidential politics that I want to bring up. So thank you for sticking with us. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. Back into the presidential politics things. Several things have happened in the recent days. Lincoln Chafee, by the way, has announced he's running in the Democratic Party. He used to be a Republican. Now he's a Democrat. And in his announcement speech, do you know what one of the main things he talked about in his announcement speech that he wanted to do?
Yes, I heard. The metric system.
He wants to introduce the metric system to the United States. He wants us to get like with the rest of the world. And I'm thinking, if that is your plan for America.
That's your platform, bud.
That's your platform. I don't think I'd what was he thinking?
I mean, I would be even – it would make more sense if he said climate change, you know, but he's – he says the metric system.
Well, I kind of agree with him. Maybe we should be on the metric system, but the Americans are stubborn. We like doing our thing our way. You know, we're basically, there's only two or three countries in the world that don't do the metric system. We're one of them.
Yeah.
Of course, we're a big player, obviously. And but that's what you're going to, on the day you're announcing your run for president of the United States, that's going to be the main topic of your press conference. I'm not too worried about him. I don't know about you, but I'm not too worried about him. On the Republican side, I'm gonna give you a little quiz here, Ken. How many people do you think on the Republican side have formally announced a run for president of the United States?
Well, I looked at the article you posted, and I went through the list, and I was like, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who is that? Who is that? What's it? Who is that guy? Who's that? I mean, I was amazed that these people have declared their candidacy, and I'm thinking, I don't know, probably 75% of them, I don't know who they are.
Well, there are – I looked over the list, and that's why I sent it to you, because I thought you'd get a kick out of it. There are 10, quote, big names that we all recognize, like Cruz and Rubio and so forth.
Yeah.
And there's like another 5 that have not announced yet but are probably going to, and that's Bush and Kasich and whatever. All right?
Christie, yeah.
But there's about another, I'm not kidding you, about 15 people. Out of the 15, I think I've heard of two or three of them. That Lynch guy, Michael David Lynch or David Michael Lynch, whatever, I've heard of him. I actually watched one or two of his videos. He sounds okay to me just off the top of my head. But there are people that the description they give them is just funny is all crap. I don't know if you have that in front of you, but literally, Ken. One of the first two or three at the top, it says that he's a what's the word it uses? He's a free spirit, or he's a thinker, or what is it, Ken? Look at that. It's about the second, third, fourth one down from the very top. The brief description right underneath his name. It says he's I don't have it. Let me pull it up.
Which guy are you talking about? I'm looking.
Oh, I don't remember his name. He's totally forgettable.
An eccentric fellow?
Yeah, I think that's the description for him. It's not like he's a businessman or an army veteran.
He says, an eccentric fellow who enjoys coming up with some very creative inventions. His name is Michael Bickelmeyer.
Yeah, that's him. That's him. And he's running for president. He's declared his candidacy. And A, I've never heard of him. And B, if all you can say about him he's an eccentric whatever.
He has a very dim view of terrorists and drug traffickers. In fact, he wants to deploy weapons to fry them from orbit.
Like satellites or something, I guess?
Yeah, I don't guess.
Well, I'm all for that. I'll go with him on that one.
I never heard of that Michael Bickelmeyer.
I know. Jeez.
I don't know where he's.
There's a few in that list. There's a few that I have heard of, but vast majority I've never even heard their names mentioned. So, my question is, A, why do these guys even bother? I mean,
I don't know.
Do they not understand the process?
You're not going.
They're entitled to do what they want to do. Now, don't get me wrong. If they want to run, they should run, but.
But when it comes to those debates, you got to be in the top, like a 10. I don't know. I guess it depends on who the debate people are.
I think Fox News on their debate that they're going to hold, you have to be in the top 10 in terms of the polling percentage or whatever. And you have to be at least 4% or something like that.
I think CNN's doing it differently. CNN's doing like one night of one round and one night of the other people.
Like, in other words, the top tier on one round and then the bottom tier on the A-team and the B-team?
I don't know if they call them in the tiers, the top tier, but maybe they're just splitting them up and where you have two separate debates. I don't know.
Well, I don't want to see a situation where you have, debate A, you have two or three known names and a bunch of guys that nobody knows. And then on the other one, you have three or four or whatever known names. And I don't want that. I want the guys to actually have a chance, a remote chance even. I want them on the same stage. I don't want them split up. If the guys on the JV team, so to speak, if they want to put them on a separate night, that's fine.
Yeah.
Couldn't help it. Sorry. Anyway. I was just amazed. I was amazed at how many people. And the thing is, I don't know if anybody's done an article on the Democratic side. Who knows? There may be 10 or 15 people that have declared themselves a candidate for the Democratic side that we hadn't heard of either. But the problem is, the people we have heard of on the Democratic side, there isn't but one that really even has even a remote chance, and that's Hillary. And that's assumed she doesn't blow up between now and 2016.
Yeah, she put her in jail. She's a criminal.
Well, I want to make sure you got that in there. I know you want to do that every show.
Every time I do it, I put it on your post on Facebook, and every show I won't say it because she is.
Who was it? Some person made a comment and said didn't know how in the world she wasn't already in prison. Who was that? I saw it on Facebook. Oh, who was it?
I don't know.
It was somebody famous. Somebody said, I don't know how she stayed out of prison.
Oh, it was an actor, wasn't it? It was an actor said
that? I don't know, it was an actor or a politician or whatever. Right now, the name escapes me, and I can't even remember. I just remember reading the quote thinking, yeah, he's right. You know,
sounds like something that that James Woods would say, the actor.
Yeah, I don't think it was James Wood, but that does sound exactly like something that James Wood would say. Maybe Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, it might have been Clint Eastwood, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was, but it's a point. Let's get to Hillary. Let's go ahead and get to which what we've been waiting for. Anyway, got two stories here on Hillary. One of them is from the Wall Street Journal, and it's on RedStateTalkRadio.com, the Hillary Clinton paradox. And essentially, the whole point of the article is, Ken, that her candidacy is a paradox because on one hand, you look at her inevitability, you know, that she's the one, nobody else has a chance, it's just a matter of just kind of going through the process. And then on the other hand, you look at all the scandals and all the crap that's going on. When you look at Benghazi, the Clinton Foundation, stuff that goes back to the 90s. I mean, this woman is littered with scandal and corruption since the day she first hit the public eye. Remember now, she was on the Watergate investigative committee and was thrown out because of unethical behavior.
Should tell you something.
That should tell you something. That's when she was a young woman. And the guy who was the chairman who threw her out said she was a dishonest, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was not kind. And the guy who threw her out was a Democrat. And she was so bad that he didn't want her. You know? And they were investigating Watergate. So they were investigating their enemies, the Republicans, Richard Nixon, and all that was going on. And this Democrat chairman thought she was couldn't even do that and be halfway, even appear to be honest. And she was violating the Constitution while she was doing it. And she was thrown out. That should have been the first tip-off on what's wrong with this woman. Right?
How does she get to be Secretary of State and be a senator of New York and... all because of her coattails of her other criminal, Bill Clinton.
Well, like the magnet on my refrigerator says, never underestimate the power of large amounts of stupid people, or something like that. I forget exactly what it says, but that's pretty much the gist of it. Okay, so anyway. It is a paradox. And so the question is, Ken, really, at this point, let's just make a prediction. Is she going to survive and win the nomination? Or is something going to blow up, whether it be Benghazi or whatever, something going to blow up to the point where she has to withdraw from the race?
I think she's I'd like to see her blow up, personally, because I like to see her behind bars. But she'll survive for one reason only. And they got nothing else. They got nothing else. Bernie Sanders is not an alternative. They got nothing else. And they've got to see it through. And unless something happens, it's cut and dry. Benghazi, she knew something that can be proven without a doubt. And the local media, I mean, the mainstream media has to report it. Unless that happens, she'll make it through. As being the party's nominee, but she won't be president of the United States because people don't trust her.
Well, I hope you're right on that last part. I didn't think Obama would be reelected either, because I thought he proved to himself and to everyone else what a horrible president was during his first 4 years. Yeah, he got reelected anyway. So,
well, history's on our side here, so I'm going with history. I don't think a Democrat's will win this time around, whoever it is. And like I said, the other article you posted, the drip 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 article, was interesting. Reading that article talking about black voters are much more concerned than white voters, younger voters, perhaps not yet jaded by years of exposure to politicians. That they're the ones that are concerned about her. You can't carry your base, period. And she doesn't have that base. She's not Obama.
Well, that's why
she's a woman. She's not going to do it.
That's why this week when she was out on the campaign trail and she was talking about voter suppression, and the Republicans had a strategy to deny blacks votes and blah, 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 which is total BS.
Yeah.
But what I loved about that whole speech, number one, she was going after the black vote because she knows, like you just said, she doesn't have a lock on a black vote like Barack Obama had.
No.
Now, I'm sure the majority of blacks would probably lean toward Hillary, but it's not 95%.
No.
It might be 50, if, 60, if, whatever. I don't know.
If they go vote at all.
If they go that, vote at all. Because if they're not motivated, yeah, if they don't motivate.
I don't think they'll go to vote for her. I don't think that they even make the attempt to go out to the polls to actually, you know, to vote for this woman. I don't think they'll come out.
Well, she's trying to fix that because she's calling for what'd she say? She wanted a 20-day nationwide deal where you had 20 days to vote, you know? You know, a lot of places have early voting. Yeah. We have early voting here in Tennessee. I think it's about 2 weeks or something like that. I'm not necessarily opposed to that because I've done early voting before, you know, just to get it over with. And the lines were a little less, you know, whatever. But at the same time, I can also see the point of, you know what? Elections once every 4 years, whatever, at least on a national level, 2 years, depending on Congress, whatever. If you don't care enough to actually take 15 minutes out of your day once every 2 or 3 or 4 years, you know, are you that serious in the first place? I mean, I just don't. But, you know, the whole thing with the Democrats, this whole notion that Republicans are trying to limit access to the ballot for blacks and Hispanics, it's just nonsense. Most Americans, I actually saw a poll. I think it's 71% or more of Americans. No, 78%. I think it's 78% of Americans think voter ID is a good thing. They're in favor of voter ID. And it just makes sense. It's like, who are you? Are you eligible to vote? I mean, prove who you are, and so you just don't walk in and vote under somebody else's name and vote multiple times. I mean, that just – how else can you have a proper, fair election if you don't do something like that?
We do it.
Yeah, we do it now in Tennessee too. You have to show your ID.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Makes sense to me.
And but they'll still let you vote if you don't have an ID, but you're on what they call a provisional ballot. And you can somehow verify it later, and then they will go ahead and put your vote in and stuff. But, you know, we use these touchscreen voting machines now. I don't know what you use in Atlanta.
We do.
But used to we did the card punch thing where you punch the card. Of course, we had the hanging chads back in 2000. We all remember that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I trust the punch card better than I do the computer stuff because those things can be manipulated. A guy who's good with computers and software, you can rig a machine to, like, every third time you vote for a Republican, you give it to a Democrat or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do inside that. And no one knows the difference. It just spits out the totals, right? But when you have cards, you can sit there and look at the hanging chads. And when you run those through a machine and count them, yes, they can make errors. But they won't be intentional errors where someone's manipulating the vote. I think we should have something along those lines, some sort of paper trail. Because right now when you do it mechanically and use a computer screen, there's no paper trail. And I've heard people talk about you should be able to vote over the internet. Well, that sounds fine. That sounds fine, except we all know how easy it is to hack computers and to spoof IP addresses. And I can sit there and vote 1,000 times with all different IP addresses. I know how to do that. And they would never know it was just me doing it.
Yeah.
So
we're way, way from that. I just look at having Chinese. They got 4 million of the federal, stolen the identities of.
Oh yeah, they broke into our federal database.
Yeah, federal we're way too far away from that kind of stuff. We can't. I mean, we don't have the know-how to safeguard those things. We don't.
Well, there's just no technology to do that. But here's the other thing. Like I've always said this to my clients when we talk about hacking and stuff with their accounts and things. And I say, look, you give a 13-year-old guy in Romania enough time and enough pizza, and he has nothing else to do in the summer, he can figure out a lot of crap. You know, you can't stop a dedicated 13-year-old who's smart and has pizza and Coke to keep him up. They will stay at it day and night until they get what they want. That's why most of these hacking jobs back in the past were almost all done by teenagers. Because they like I say, you know, summertime, they got nothing else better to do, and they will sit there and just go after it, go after it, go after it, go after it, until they do it, because then they can brag to all their friends. And look what I did, blah, 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 blah. Now it's gotten more sophisticated. You have entire nation states that are hacking, like China, have entire rooms full of guys that's all they do all day long is try to hack U.S. sites and sites of our Western allies and so forth. And of course, the Chinese, with their type of morality, they don't have a problem with that at all. Mm-mm. They just think that's just the way it is, you know. And you know what? If we're not doing the same thing to them, shame on us.
I agree.
You know,
we should be.
We should be. We should be.
I think that they did an interview with one of the guys that was used to be in the intelligence, and he said that we're really good at hacking other people. We're not good at safeguarding our own stuff.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. I don't think I've ever said this on the air, but our website, redstatetownhall.com, and our station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, I have stuff set up to protect those because I get a report every week, Ken, and I'm not kidding you. I get anywhere from 20 to 100 hacking attempts to both those websites every single week.
Oh, you have someone that counts that?
Yeah. And they try to use your name, Ken Brown, on the Red State Town Hall site. They're trying to guess your password.
Oh, really?
And so they're logging in as Ken Brown, and they're logging in as me, and they're sitting there. But they do you a lot. You're like number one on the hit parade for some reason.
I look like an easy mark.
You look like an easy mark. That guy doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. So
he's easy to figure out.
Matter of fact, we need to talk about maybe changing your password, making something more difficult that you probably can't remember anyway, but still. But because I changed mine. When I saw what was going on, I installed some software and saw what was going on. I actually changed mine to something really ridiculous to make it just that much. Because they get in as me, they can do about whatever they want to do because I run the whole thing. So with you, they couldn't do as much damage, but they could do some damage. But yeah, I mean, last week alone, I think there was like 116 attempts of people trying to log in as you, and of course they couldn't get the password. And I have it set to where I think I've got it set for 3 password attempts. If you fail 3 times, boom, it locks you out and blocks your IP address out. And I think it locks you out for 24 hours. So, yeah, kind of like a bank kind of thing. So, they're from China. They're from I've had them from Israel, from China, from Turkey, some in the U.S. Believe it or not, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Utah, but people in Utah are wanting to hack us bad. I thought Utah was mostly conservatives, but
you think the Mormons would leave us alone?
You think they would leave us alone? The good thing is we know it's not the Amish because they don't have computers, so we don't have to worry about the Amish. But
maybe they were after us, and we weren't too big on Romney. Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe that's you know what? I ticked somebody off about Romney. They didn't like the way I treated Romney during the election. Okay. Well, we're out of time, but Hillary. Good night. I guess that's it. You about ready to take us out, Ken?
I am. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on Earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We'll see you next time.